couple of different measures in a couple of different committees this week. One of those, start with Senate Concurrent Resolution 13.
I was really pleased that we were able to hear SCR 13 this week. That's something that a number of states have done across the country. It just simply encourages schools to recognize the value that teaching the Bible as curriculum has. When the Bible is taught not as a religious study, but as a literature, it has really positive impacts. Some of the information that is available, at least that I have in my office, is a study that goes back to 1962 when the Bible was taken from the classrooms. Well, I say it was taken. It was the interpretation of the Supreme Court opinion was that it could no longer be taught, but basically there was that a religion couldn't be taught, and I think there was some misunderstanding and misapplication of that. It's really revealing when you look at a study of SAT scores at that date. I have a study that does a statistical analysis and demonstrates that since that time, SAT scores have continued to decline. They'd been pretty stable up until that time, and they've declined ever since. And the study demonstrates that some event is what would have been likely to have caused that decline to begin and to continue. And then an analysis of events demonstrates that the only event that aligns with that is when the Bible was removed from the classroom. In the meantime, recently, there have been lots of studies, over 40 studies that have been done, and there's a meta-analysis, which is a compilation of those studies and a study of the studies, if you please, by a doctor, Dr. Bill Janes out of California, University at Long Beach. His analysis demonstrates very conclusively that when you introduce the Bible as curriculum, it has a very marked influence on academic success. In fact, he claims that as much as one GPA improvement results on average when you introduce the Bible as curriculum. And there's also a very definite impact on character. And so both of those are positive things. They're things parents want. They're things communities want. They're things states want. And so there's a real value to doing that. The history and the study of literature also rely heavily on biblical knowledge. Shakespeare has thousands of references to the Bible and or to language from the Bible, and other literary references are strongly influenced by that. Few people have not heard the phrase patient as Job. Well, if you don't know who Job is, that is a pretty meaningless phrase. And so a lot of these things have gone into the studies. A lot of states have already accommodated this same kind of curriculum that we have recommended in SCR 13, which is simply a resolution that recommends that schools look very hard at the value that they can get from putting the Bible into their curriculum. Some of the states' legislative efforts on a bipartisan basis have been led in a number of states. Georgia passed similar legislation to encourage the teaching of the Bible academically in 2006. South Carolina and Texas did it in 2007, Tennessee in 2008, Oklahoma in 2010, South Dakota and Arizona in 2012, Arkansas in 2013, and then Kentucky in 2017. And so states have progressively recognized the value that this has to their whole program of education and have begun to bring this back into their schools. A resolution is just a recommendation, and so it doesn't have the power of law. It doesn't force anyone to do anything. But I'm hoping that schools across the district that I serve will take a hard look at this and realize that they're really benefiting their students, their communities, and their families if they can figure out a way to fit this information into their curriculum so that our students are better prepared for other areas of study.
Another issue, it goes back to a bill from several years ago now, known as Senate Bill 5, that essentially, I guess, has had some unintended consequences in terms of...
It has, yes. Senate Bill 5 was the original bill, and it was kind of a response to the Ferguson episode, recognizing that some of the cities there in St. Louis were really abusing their constituents, stacking fines in a number of ways, creating what some refer to as debtor's prisons. And Senate Bill 5 basically took that away so that that was not going to be the case anymore, and those communities couldn't just use traffic violations and municipal violations as a profit center, so to speak. But the problem that has developed from that is that now there's virtually no penalty for failing to appear on your court date if you do get either a moving violation or some kind of a municipal fine. And so we've had communities across the state, and certainly I've had lots of complaints from municipalities in my district saying, you know, we used to have maybe a couple hundred failure to appears, and now we may be getting up to 1,000 failure to appears over a time period. It's pretty routinely at least 3-1 that the number has increased. There was a desire to try to fix that. We've been trying to do it now for at least 3 years, and kept running into roadblocks. Either we were not really fixing it because there still was no penalty for failure triggered to appear, or if we did put penalties back in, we were creating the same situation that we had tried to eliminate. But this year, there were some folks that were involved in the discussion who just had some really good ideas about a new way to do it. We've essentially created a whole new path in the judicial system to get you out of the criminal system and into the administrative law system. By doing that, we're avoiding this debtor's prison situation and this fine stacking. We're going to now be able to still put a penalty on failure to appear, but it's not going to be a fiscal penalty. It's going to be a driver's license point penalty. So the cities aren't going to profit by it, but the offender, it will cost the offender because they'll have points on that license. And if you get stopped for speeding and you fail to appear on your court date, your case can be turned over to this new system. There's no extra cost to going through the new system. You still have the normal court costs that you would have incurred for your hearing. You still have the opportunity to hear because you'll get another notice, in fact, two other notices, and you'll have the opportunity to come appear and defend yourself if you're not guilty. If you fail to appear either of those times, then you will be assessed whatever fine is appropriate. You'll be deemed guilty of whatever the offense was and whatever the appropriate fine or points associated with that, but you will also be assessed two additional points for failure to appear. So I think it is solved it very well. The committee heard it. There was some questioning, but everyone seemed to be very happy with the approach. There was no testimony in opposition to it, which was a real encouragement. So I think we may have settled on a solution to that problem that would make sure that people do show up for their court date, but that we don't put them in jail if they don't. I was really pleased that we were able to get to that point.